In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ,
glory forever.
I greet all of you on the second day of the Church New Year. The fact that it's the Church New Year is not insignificant. It's not a technicality. Our life as Christians, as Orthodox Christians, revolves around worship. Corporate worship. Worship together. And so on this Church New Year, we start afresh. Ask God to refresh you as you recommit to the worship and to prayer. We have many parables of the Lord, but the most powerful ones are those that he gave before he was arrested and crucified. The parable you heard today, as best as I can tell from my reading, he delivered on Wednesday of Holy Week, the day he was betrayed, day before the Last Supper. This is very powerful and full of intensity. And he spoke to, it says in the book of Matthew, Matthew's account says, he was speaking to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they perceived that he spoke about them. They did not like that, and they conspired to arrest him, but they couldn't because the multitude, the crowd, believed Jesus was a prophet. Now, this parable can be misunderstood in a profoundly warped way, or could be received in the way that the church fathers help us to understand and the way Jesus himself meant it. Think with me now about the details of the parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth servants to call people. Invitations were sent out. And then servants went out again to say, the marriage day is here, the food is ready, guests, please come. It's the way it was done in the ancient world. And some said, we're too busy, business, family, possessions, can't deal with it. Others actually killed the servants who came with the invitation. So, if we hear the parable wrongly, then what you're going to focus on is a vengeful, spiteful God who says, the king heard that his servants were killed, and he went and he sent his armies and he burned down their city. Then later, a man comes to the wedding, but he apparently took off the furnished wedding garment that was given in the ancient world at one of these celebrations. He took it off. And the king said, friend, he says, why have you come? Where's your garment? And the man was speechless. And it says, he sent him into everlasting punishment. Now, if we misunderstand this parable, we're going to think, what a vengeful God. He's destroying cities because people won't come to his party. And a man shows up with the wrong clothes, and he sends him to be punished forever. But could this be the way to read this? There are many who would, and who have been severely disappointed, profoundly betrayed in their faith by leaders. I'm thinking of those poor people in Pennsylvania that were violated. They're going to hear a parable like this and not find any hope or solace or comfort. So let's find the hope and comfort for ourselves. Maybe we need to share that with others. What did we just sing a few minutes ago? The Lord is merciful and compassionate, long-suffering. Thou, O Lord, shalt protect us from this generation and forever. Blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the meek. These are the standards by which we receive the Lord, that we know how he is. Do you remember in the gospel? Jesus was rejected in a certain town. And James and John said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and burn them up like Elijah did in the old days?" Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, "The Son of Man is not come to condemn, he has come to save. He has come to find." So, we know right away James and John's idea and our idea of a vengeful, spiteful, hurtful God is not correct. He has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And he rebuked, it says, Jesus rebuked James and John for this thought. Here's our basic understanding, that the Lord has come to save. And so when we read words like this in the parable, we have to understand something about ourselves, not about God. Because we know God's merciful. He looks down from upon the earth to hear the groaning of them that be in fetters. Jesus was speaking the gospel to whom? That parable. Who was he speaking to? I said it. The Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests. They rejected the Lord. They did not come to the wedding feast. So, do you think then we should go to our Jewish friends and say, "You know, you people are in trouble"? Well, no, we shouldn't think that either. Both approaches are wrong. The gospel was told to us. It's directed to me and to you to take the words, the events in that parable, as applying to my soul and perhaps my community. Let me point out two things. We are now 14 weeks past Pentecost, which I suppose puts us 20 weeks past Pascha, which puts us after the time when we have renewed our baptismal pledge, when the garment of our baptism, the wedding garment, was given to us pure and white. And as St. Paul said in that epistle, when we were sealed with the Holy Spirit by God, who establishes us with you in Christ. It's been a long time. And all of us have been through quite a bit since those days. 21, 22 Lenten days. So we look at the garment of our soul. On Holy Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we hear that hymn, "Thy wedding garment, thy bridal chamber I see all adorned, and I have no wedding garment that I may enter in. Illumine me, O Lord." Now is the time, brothers and sisters, when the church says, get back to your Christian, get back to the center, which is Christ. The people in this parable, they didn't come to the wedding feast. Why? It was their property. It was their business. It was their family obligations. These things, each one is a blessing and a gift from God. But if it moves to the center, then Christ has moved away. You know, there's such a thing as centrifugal force, that spin of the world. The word fugitive, that flees away from the center. There's attraction to it, like a tractor pulling us away all the time from Christ. That's just the nature of the world we live in. Nothing about our faith, it's the world we live in. It's fallen. We need to return to the center, which is Christ, and realize that we may be being pulled away from him. And how do we return to the center, which is the way to keep our baptismal garment pure and undefiled and to enter to the wedding feast? First, we remember that God has come to us. He has sent us the invitation. We haven't had to search for him. He came to you and to me, each one of us. He sent a personal invitation. And he is not a king to whose house you go to the celebration, and he lords it over you. He wants you to co-rule with him, to be a king and a queen like him. This is not like going to Buckingham Palace and you pay your respects to the queen and you have some little cucumber sandwiches and some tea and you go home. This is not like the wedding reception, which you wish would just end or you could leave early. This is God's life being given to each one of us to make us like him. We've been sealed. We've been anointed. We have been washed. And we have been given the garment of eternal life. God invites us to the wedding reception. And we keep the garment clean. The man in the parable who had taken off his garment was someone who had gone the 21 weeks since Pascha. But he took it off. And he was pulled to the edges. And he lost the center, which is Christ. Let me leave you with the words of St. Theophylact and his interpretation of this gospel. Think of the judgment. Think of the end of your life. These gospels are given to us so that we will consider the Lord's coming in glory, in which we say, "And I look for the resurrection and the life of the age. I anticipate it." The king makes exceedingly careful examination of those found to be sullied after entering into the faith. Let us tremble then when we understand that if one does not lead a pure life, faith alone befits him, benefits him, not at all. For not only is he cast out of the wedding feast, but he is sent away into the fire. We are unable to be there if the garment is not there. We are unable to receive God's love. It's not that God is not loving us. He is eternally compassionate. We cannot receive it. We have lost the faculties. Not only is he cast out of the wedding feast, he is sent into the fire. Who is he that is wearing filthy garments? It is he who is not clothed. Now listen to what the Lord expects from us through the mouth of St. Theophylact. He who is not clothed with compassion, goodness, and brotherly love. You may think you have compassion. You may think you have goodness and brotherly love, but if it's not in action, then it doesn't exist. Think each day, then. How are you expressing the compassion, goodness, and brotherly love? Not to yourself. See, that's my main confession when my confessor comes. I'm very compassionate with myself. People say to me, "Oh, Father, make sure you take care of yourself." And I say, "That's never been a problem." We have to extend that to the other person. There are many who deceive themselves with vain hopes, thinking that they shall attain the kingdom of heaven, that they include themselves among the assembly of dinner guests, yet they do not eat. Thinking great things of themselves, being justified in regard to that unworthy man, the Lord demonstrates these two things to us. First, that he loves mankind. That's the parable's message to us. And secondly, that we ought not to pass judgment on anyone, even if they sin openly openly, unless they have been reproved by their sin. The Lord then says to his servants, the angels of punishment, bind his hands and feet. That is, the soul's power of action. It's too late at that point. For in this present age, it's the time to act and to do. But in the age to come, all of the soul's powers of actions are bound, and a man cannot then do any good thing to outweigh his sins. Gnashing of teeth is the meaningless repentance that will then take place. Many are called, for God calls many. Indeed, he calls all, but few are chosen. Let us be among the chosen. Hearing the parable, washing the garment with our tears, with confession, with the Eucharist, coming to the wedding feast, which is this liturgy, and which will be the life of the age to come. To our Lord and our Savior be glory and honor and dominion, now and ever, to ages of ages.
Amen.